What will change during the first election since the Citizens United decision? That's something Robert Reich is thinking about. He's the author of the e-book Beyond Outrage and was U.S. Secretary of Labor under Clinton. Now he teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. So, Robert, here's the problem with experts. No matter how credible a person is or how impeccable their credentials, as soon as they come out in favor of or against a Republican, same thing for the Democrats, they're compromised. People don't listen to them anymore. So how do you break through dysfunction in Congress when people immediately discredit an expert when they take a political position?
Well, I think part of the problem, Celeste, is that people really hate politics in the United States right now. They're more cynical than they have been in my lifetime. We've never been a nation that particularly loved politics or government or trusted it, but we're at a new low in terms of the entire process. It's not that we're divided. I mean, we were divided much more during the Vietnam War. We were divided more during the McCarthy era, the communist witch hunts of the 1950s. We've been very divided as a country, much more than today, but at least in prior eras, we listened to each other. We talked to each other. There was a public dialogue. There was some sort of agreed set of principles or at least ways of discussing in which one side listened to the other. Now, partly because we can choose our own media, partly because we can choose where we live, we are segregating according to political view. Therefore, we're not really engaged in a national dialogue. To the extent that we're talking at all, it's a shouting match. And that's not helping the public dialogue either.
Maybe that's where you got the title of your new book, Beyond Outrage. Maybe you're beyond getting angry anymore, Robert Reich.
Well, I think that what I'm trying to do in my own limited way is to enable people and encourage people, whatever side they're on, to put their outrage aside, to get beyond it, and to actually engage in what we used to do, and that is democratic deliberation.
All right, well, then let's examine this a little bit more and what may be, I guess, the product of it, or maybe it's the cause to a certain extent, which is Citizens United and Super PAC. This is something that when people have done recent polls among the American populace, the Super PACs have become incredibly unpopular. People do not appreciate the amount of money being poured into these television ads, it seems. And that's bipartisan. That's both Republicans and Democrats. What effect is this having on our electoral process? Is it pushing us so far that it's impossible to fix?
Well, we'll know a lot after this election. I mean, the preliminary estimates are that an unbelievable amount of money. I mean, upwards of more than $2 billion in the presidential election, maybe $2.5 billion, conceivably $2.8 billion, will be spent by both sides. A big chunk of that will be through super PACs. We are embarking upon an experiment right now. We've never done this in our democracy, at least in anybody's living memory. After Watergate, we had some major reforms, but even before Watergate, we didn't have anything like this kind of money and this kind of secret money pouring in to our politics from a relative handful of extraordinarily wealthy individuals and major corporations and Wall Street firms. We're going to see what happens. It's a dangerous experiment. I think you are right. I read the same poll as you do. Most people don't like super PACs. They don't like all this money in politics. But what people tell me who are in the business is that negative advertising actually pays off in terms of taking votes away from the other guy. And that's the bottom line. Even if people don't like super PACs, even if people don't like all of this negative advertising, they are still influenced by the negative advertising. And we will know much more come Election Day whether all of this works or alternatively, and I'm hoping that we find that the alternative is true. People are so fed up, so angry, so upset with the dominance of money, big money in politics, that the people support fundamental campaign finance reforms, support real limits on money in politics, demand a kind of reversal of Citizens United against the Federal Election commission make such a ruckus that even the Supreme Court begins to listen. Or we have a constitutional amendment that says corporations not people, money is not the equivalent of speech, and we've got to regulate all this.
I hate to sound jaded in this particular subject area.
You're too young to be jaded, Celeste.
I'm 42. I'm jaded enough. But
No, that's too young.
But, you know, let me tell you, it feels as though people have made all kinds of ruckuses, as you say. People have lifted their voices in protest about all kinds of things, and it hasn't made a bit of difference on Capitol Hill. So, I mean, it feels as though, to a certain extent, the big money you're talking about is really insulating our politicians from the ruckus of the people.
Well, it is right now, but you've got to be a little bit patient. I mean, it took how many years to get civil rights? About 30 years of continuous fulmination. How many years did it take us to do anything important in this country? It takes time because you've got to change the structure of power. And for that to happen, an awful lot of people have to apply a great deal of pressure for a lot of time. And how long have we been at this? Well, we were, you know, after Watergate, there was a period of time where campaign finance was somewhat under control. Those were real reforms, and they were bipartisan reforms. You know, and that McCain-Feingold law held for a number of years. And then, as very often happens, there is a kind of reversion, a kind of a slippage. The old powers reassert themselves. In this case, they use a great deal of money to try to reinstitute their own power and come back even stronger. I think, therefore, I'm going to use a hokey phrase, Celeste. We the people are going to have to come back even stronger. You look back on reform efforts of the last 150 years, and you've got to have a lot of confidence that when things get really bad, people do rise up and they do demand change and they do get change.
You have to be careful there, Robert. People are going to start calling you an optimist in there.
You know, I'm an optimist. If you look at the broad sweep of history, it is progressive. It is not regressive. If you look at the broad sweep of history, you see that when changes are necessary to preserve our democracy, we make them. We can't be passive observers in this democracy. We never could. We certainly can't be now.
Robert Reich, encouraging all Americans to raise a ruckus, author of the new ebook Beyond Outrage, former U.S. Secretary of Labor under Clinton. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.
And we will continue to follow the money this election season. We want your questions on campaign funding, how it works, where it comes from, where the money goes, the laws governing the system. Send your questions. We'll have Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, answer them. So give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post at thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.